going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I wake up today to there's a fight in a Starbucks between two NFL reporters. And before you could even know the reporters knowing what happened yesterday, you just knew.
We knew who it was.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even need to know the names. I just knew exactly what this was all about. Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport.
All over a source off on how Matt Stafford came to be with Tom Brady.
Now, there wasn't actually a physical altercation, was it? Or was it just a yelling match?
I think it was verbal.
Yeah,
right?
I would imagine Rappaport's, you know, dipping a scone into the coffee, and Schultz walked in there and said, what do you got, tough guy? And then they just...
Shut up!
No, you shut up! No, you shut up! And they yelled at each other and then split a latte after.
Here's the irony, and Jordan Schultz has done a good job building up his source and everything. Jordan Schultz came from money, and this is how he got around players and stuff. Why? His father was like the owner / CEO of Starbucks forever.
Is that right?
So to have this fight happen in a Starbucks.
No.
Yeah, look up Jordan Schultz's history. His dad.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
Very Game of Thrones-like.
That is not true.
You know, yeah, he came from money, young, up and coming. That's, you know, how he got in with the players.
So now I feel like this will work.
In Starbucks, they have more attention. I don't know if his father might have been bought out. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. He was originally a part of this. His dad. This is now a work. This is all
really
BS.
I just thought this was a funny coincidence.
Now people in Indianapolis, Indiana, are going to go find the Starbucks and be like, "Where did it happen? Can I have a latte? Actually, make that a double."
But does Starbucks need any more pub? Everybody knows they're everywhere.
No, they don't. But still, now it feels like a work, though.
Would you say that this fight is more of a grande issue or a vente issue?
I would go venti. Is that the larger one?
No, that's the smaller
one. Oh, so grande. Yeah. Then, please.
You don't know that grande is bigger?
No. You could get on me all you want. I am blue collar from that perspective. I am a large, medium, small coffee.
He's the kind of guy
that
walks into a Starbucks and is like, "Let me have just a regular coffee."
Yeah.
And people are looking at you like, would that be a grande?
My wife does
the ordering. Would that be a grande pike? Or what are you talking about?
My wife does the ordering. I also think that them fighting over this tells me, again, I'm right. There was definitely tampering going on.
Oh, without a doubt.
And Jordan Schultz is like, "Dude, you're taking me the story. Why? Because Tom bullied you into giving it." And I like rap, but this reeks of tampering. 888-808-1019. Right before we get back to your call, I just want to address this because I teased it. TV's on in the background, and we see kind of this trailer, something going on, and whatever the golf tournament is happening now. Billy Horschel has an alligator on the hole with him and turns with his golf club. I'm assuming his putter, because it looked like he was
Get on the green.
Okay. And chases away an alligator into water with the golf club.
He goes and hits the alligator.
Yeah, taps it. Get out of here.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Get out of here.
Get the hell off my course.
We're talking about the toughness of these football players.
Yeah,
and golfers are usually looked at as not the tough guys at all. There is not a chance in hell.
No
By the way, chase him into the water?
I know.
I'm going to the parking lot and forfeiting my round.
Right. Not only did he tap him on the side of the head to get his attention, he then walked after him and made him run into the water. Now, it makes me feel like, why are we so scared of alligators?
It did give you that sense that we've over-exaggerated the fear of alligators in this country.
Hey, what is it actually going to do to you? You're standing up on your feet on the ground. I mean, if you're in the water, they have the clear advantage. But if you're standing on land and you have potentially a weapon and a golf club, don't you now have the advantage? Well, I feel like Billy Horschel just taught me something.
He might have. Now, us Northerners might be stupid. And this is where, you know, the Florida kids were like, wow, these guys are idiots. Maybe they grew up around this. I don't know where Horschel's from. Maybe it's not a big deal. Is the zigzag runaway, is that a bear thing or an alligator?
No, that's an alligator thing. Because they can only run in straight lines. But now I feel like that was nonsense.
Yes, that's one of those things we're told when we're younger.
Yeah, just run in zigzag because it can't catch you.
So Tiki Barber's urging anybody, you encounter an alligator, just go right after it. They'll run away.
I saw Happy Gilmore go into the water and put a gator in a headlock. I got the bastard's eye.
Yeah.
Until you do something like that. And I'm watching the video here, Sean. It's an iguana, basically. This is not an alligator.
Dude,
No. This is
It's not a crocodile. It's an alligator.
Are all sharks created equal?
They are not.
No, they're not. There's the great white that we're all scared of, obviously, because of Jaws. And then there's like smaller sharks.
Okay, so you go to...
Oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm scared of my own shadow. I'm just saying that we're...
Robert Moses from you over the summer, a sand shark comes. You're going to stay in that water?
Absolutely not. But if a jellyfish came anywhere near me, I'd be scared.
Mm. Okay.
But I'm just saying that if you watch the video, the alligator is more of the size of, in my opinion, an iguana.
Okay.
It's a very small gator.
Regardless, urine would be down my leg and I'd be driving home. 808-1019. Andrew in Bergen County. Andrew, what's up?
What's up, Andrew?
What's going on, fellas? Golfers are built differently, Sean. All right? You got to realize, man. PJ Singh in his prime. Bill, you're not going after a gator, but they're different these days.
No, you're right. True.
Quick point. So, Antique, you remember this. Loved you on the field. Loved you behind the mic. The Giants had Strahan. And what'd they do? They drafted OC.
Right.
They drafted Tuck. They drafted JPP.
Drafted Kiwanuka.
They drafted Kiwanuka.
Right.
Kiwanuka. And look, and you could still go. Not guys in free agency. You got to draft Abdul Carter, man. Just imagine Burns, Carter, Dex, and I think Thibodeau will play a ton better with those four guys. It'll be a NASCAR package all over again. I just think it's a no-brainer, man. Right. So, I don't know. Your thoughts on that?
That's interesting. And it's interesting, Andrew, you bring up that NASCAR thing because what happened was Tuck would go inside.
Mm-hmm.
And now Tuck, who's an edge rusher, even though he's thicker than most edge rushers, he's now on a guard, and you got your edge rusher, so whether that was OC or Strahan, lining up in a wide nine, so he's way out there, which forces the tackle to take a wide berth to get there. Now you got Tuck 101 with a guard. It's cheating. But the only way you can do that is if you have elite pass rushers.
Yes.
Right? And so the best defenses, and you've seen this philosophy start to infiltrate in the NFL, once you get into a third down situation, do everything you can. Bring a corner, bring a linebacker, bring an extra man, so you force the offensive lineman to have one-on-one matchups. And if you can have guys that can win those one-on-one matchups on the edges but also inside, dude, you're stealing. You're cheating.
It's also the one way that we've seen this, that we just saw this in the Super Bowl this year, right? We saw it in the Bucs-Chiefs Super Bowl. We saw it in both Giants Super Bowls versus the Patriots. If you have a disadvantage at the quarterback play from your offensive side to that offensive side, the best way to neutralize it is we get home with four pass rushers all game long and absolutely crush you that way. We're not worried about blitzing and having corners get burned by the quarterback, you know, looking over, throwing it over the top. That is, you know, look, that's where I think the case is to be made for Abdul Carter. If I'm not going to take a quarterback, well, what's the best way for me to beat the other quarterbacks that I'm at a disadvantage in?
Right. That's exactly what the Eagles did with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. Dolan Smith, and who was the edge? Who was it? Josh Sweat, who was wreaking havoc, I should say. They were all over the place with just four.
Just four. And they didn't even need Bryce.
Right.
Who they whiffed on. This is right up Tiki's alley. Jason and Goshen. Jason, what's up?
What's going on?
What's up, Jason?
Hey, I like Tiki's approach. I think we should trade for Joe Milton.
Hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Jason.
$50 million.
That's what I'm talking about. Now the question is, could you actually get him?
Take Carter, Hunter, or trade down and get more picks?
Yeah, I mean, people who miss this, appreciate you, Jason. People who miss this, Joe Milton played week 17 or was it 18?
18.
It was 18.
Yeah, dropped the Pats behind the Giants as a result.
Exactly. So, and he came in.
He's a dog.
He's a 6th-round draft pick. Nobody knew what to expect from him. I think in preseason, he just He was like very average.
And he made his mark on this weekend last year when he lit up the combine with his arm strength.
That's right. And people, but he didn't, it didn't help his draft status.
No.
And so he gets drafted late, plays in preseason, looks like a little bit overwhelmed, whatever. Honestly, I completely forgot about him because it was all Jacoby Brissett and
Drake May.
And so like, who's the third string quarterback? Who cares? But in week 17, he played, and I went and watched that game. Just not live, but rewatched it, the tape. So I'm watching it critically. I'm not watching it with the emotion of the broadcaster. I'm watching it critically. And he balled his ass off. He's big. He made every throw. He scrambles just enough. It made me want him. It made me believe that he is a star in hiding. And he's never going to get a shot because the Patriots aren't going to let that guy go.
No.
But if I was the Giants... And there was just a little bit of an inkling I could trade for him, I absolutely would.
I am definitely intrigued by Joe Milton after watching that game,
yeah.
Clearly. But I've also seen guys have their one great moment, and you fall in the Matt Flynn is the guy that comes to mind.
But Matt Flynn was like,
here's the
deal. 5'11", like 200 pounds.
I would just
Joe Milton's like 6'2", 220.
I don't disagree. But if I'm making a trade for Joe Milton, I need another plan on top of Joe Milton.
Of course,
you know what I mean?
He's not the veteran.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Because God forbid you get that one wrong.
I take that back. He's 6'5", this kid.
He's a big dude. He's a big dude. And you're right. Mobile enough. Not a run first quarterback. But when he needed to escape, he made those plays and could throw on the run. Dean in Rocky Point. Dean, what's up?
What's up?
Dean, what do you got, man?
What's up, Dean?
Cheeky, big fan. Just wait for the football second. Back to Starbucks. I think it was Tommy. He was talking like he's an expert. The venti is the long drink. The grande is the medium.
Yeah, that's what we said.
No, we didn't.
We said it the other way?
Yeah, we said grande was the
medium. You said it the other way around.
Thank you, Dean.
Is the large. Venti is the small.
What does venti mean?
I don't know. See, to me, grande means grand, means bigger. Why would that not be the largest one?
I don't know.
Tall is the smallest one. Tall,
no
grande,
sense.
Venti's the biggest.
Well, so tall is a word used for big. Grande's a used word for big. Nobody knows what venti means, and yet that's the biggest?
Dean, you seem like a nice fella, but I was right. So don't give me this, well, Tommy was acting like an expert. I was right.
Okay.
So have a nice day.
Here are the traditional sizes offered at Starbucks.
Uh-huh.
Tall, that's 12 ounces. That's the smallest. Grande, that's 16 ounces. Venti is 24 ounces. And 30, 31 ounces.
Oh, so they have a 31 ounce?
31 ounces.
You've got to be a sick individual in the morning. How many kids do you have to be ordering the Trenta?
Venti also means 20 in Spanish, so that's where it comes from.
Oh. So what's grande mean in Spanish? Grand?
Wasn't Starbucks invented in Seattle?
I don't know.
This
can
is
I get just small, medium, large, extra large, please?
You know what? And I'm not trying.
We're American.
Look, Starbucks, lovely company. This is why you just need to go get that Dunkin's value menu. Value meal.
Venti's also Italian for 20. So that's why it's...
Thank you. Right. No, Connor only just shared that.
No, he said it's Spanish.
Oh, okay. So it's... Okay.
So which one is it? Because Connor acted like an expert. What do you mean both?
Well, yeah, Bean, you're on edge. You don't like being called out.
I don't like this fellow Dean saying that I was acting like an expert when I was the expert on the venti.
Geez.
I mean, I guessed.
I think need a Trenta. Relax.
Tommy's been getting venti coffees thinking they're mediums this whole time. That's why he's so jacked up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Howard Schultz traveled to Italy for the first time in 83, and he fell in love with the, quote, romance and theater of coffee.
What name did you say there?
That would be Howard Schultz.
Last name, please, again?
Schultz.
Schultz. Okay. Does he have a son?
Yeah.
Jordan Schultz. Now, why is that? Why would we be having a fight in Starbucks? Now, why is that? All right. It's a work.
Now I'm convinced.
We will continue to take your calls on, obviously, a player going both ways. Travis Hunter spoke today at the Combine. Plus, bring some baseball into the conversation. I think the Yankees have a major problem, and I think Evan steered us wrong earlier in the week. It's Evan and Tiki with Evan on vacation here on The Fan, 888-808-1019.
Some Knicks news has come in after last night. Let's just, call it what it is. An embarrassing win, if you could have one.
Holding on for dear life. Now, Bridges had a great night. Brunson catches fire, as he always does. And they do enough to beat a team without Embiid. Although, obviously, Cat not playing for the Knicks, which you do have to account for.
It's a big deal. What do you mean? Yeah, Cat didn't play.
Still a dead walking Sixer team at home. And you would hope, off of what happened last weekend with the Knicks, you get a little more juice. But, okay, whatever.
They won, didn't they?
They did.
They lost, that'd be one thing.
Unlike
the Boston Celtics, who got beat by 20.
Right. Well, they just needed to play the Knicks, and then they wouldn't get beat by 20. Anyway, Shams did report this, which is bad news for the Knicks. Ariel Hucporty, who has now burst on the scene with the depth that they've had at center, tore his meniscus in his left knee. He's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. He obviously did get hurt last night. It was a start in place of Cat. He had 8 points, 2 rebounds, and a block. Now, Mitchell Robinson is on his way back, which is going to be enormous. But, you know, whatever the situation here was with Cat, however you're trying to play this injury, you know, Hucporty was part of these guys. We keep talking about the Knicks' depth and the lack of it. You don't want to lose any pieces that you're starting to trust
especially when you've, because nobody knew that what Hucporty was going to be and if he was going to be a viable substitute giving an injury to somebody else. He has been, and now he's hurt.
Now he's hurt.
So the Knicks are, I don't want to say this feels like exactly what happened last year, but it feels like it. I can't help but think about what happened with the Knicks last year.
Yeah. Well, we already
went through. It was nobody's fault. Like I'm not putting this on Tibbs. I'm not putting this on anybody. It's just bad fortune,
right?
It's seeming to happen for the Knicks at a very rough time in the season because they're not going to fall out of the 3 seed. No. I don't think. But if they get one more injury, they could.
Well, now, the good news is OG Anunoby did come back. We thought that was going to be a little longer term than it ended up being.
Right. A little bit of nothing.
A little bit of nothing. We expect Mitch to really be in the mix here. And, you know, we'll see on this Cat injury. It feels like they're trying to play more cautionary than anything, which makes sense. And, look, when the balls get rolled out and the games really count in 2 months, as long as the big guns are healthy for the Knicks, those are the guys that are going to play. I can't imagine Hucporty was eventually going to log these major minutes in the postseason. No one precious, you know, and obviously you have Mitch coming back.
Right, but it's not about the log in the big minutes in the postseason. It's about
spelling them now.
Exactly. Getting them now so you don't have to worry, hey, Cat, we got to throw you out there a couple days earlier than we expected because we don't have anybody else.
Yeah.
Especially with Mitch not back yet.
We go to the Positive Tommy News and Sports Desk. Positive Tommy, we need you to address two things. Disappointed with the way the Knicks won last night, number one. Number two, thoughts on the Hucporty injury.
Okay, I'm never disappointed in a win. Now, the other day I said that it was delusional to have expectations that the Knicks would win a title. Obviously, I got a lot of grief for that. Mm-hmm. Now I got to address the Knicks fans. I just have to do this.
Loogie!
We're in a situation now where, because I heard it last night, now it's hard to decipher sometimes who's in the coalition, who's actually a Knicks fan, but this is what I can't hear. When they win games, I don't want to hear, well, call me when they beat the Celtics and the Thunder. Call me when they beat the Cavs. No. They beat the Sixers. When they win games and they stack wins, that matters. It's not just about, well, they can't beat the elite teams. All right, next time they play an elite team, we could have the conversation. Should they just take off for the rest of the season until they play another one of these teams? So now we're getting whiny, spoiled Knicks fans, in my opinion. Appreciate the wins. Never take them for granted. And then when they play an elite team, we could talk.
Especially when you're missing Cat.
Yeah. If that was a tweet, by the way, it would be -PT.
Yeah, damage. Because it's just, I understand saying, hey, look, you can't beat the elite teams, but now after every win, that's going to be the talking point. That's going to be the narrative. And as far as Hucporty goes, I've been screaming about Hucporty for a while now because it gives you that energy. And early in the year when they didn't have Mitchell Robinson, they haven't had him all year long, and Precious was out, Hucporty gives you that energy. He can protect the rim. And when he comes in the game, he's a dog and he gives you that energy. So I just wish it's unfortunate that he didn't get enough minutes early in the year. Now they're missing him. And it's not an attrition thing because he doesn't play a lot of minutes. It's just, like Tiki said, sort of just, you know, part of that bad karma or whatever you want to call it. Bad luck.
It's just bad luck. I know why you like Hucporty. You're thinking of somebody else.
Fuck!
I thought so.
Combine that with his name, Ariel. Now imagine the Little Mermaid with Hawk 2, and now we're talking.
Fuck!
You're ruining kids' minds right now.
Well, whatever they do under the sea is their business. Okay.
Loogie!
I'm more of an Ursula guy myself, but 888-808-1019. Josh in Smithtown. Josh, what's up?
Hey, you know, it's funny. You never know what you're going to get when somebody's out. It's when Evan's there and Tiki's out, you get, like, which vice president's going to win the home run derby. And when Evan's out, we're talking about Starbucks sizes and alligators. But I just a quick story about gators, because you were talking about how, like, we're Northerners, so we think of it differently. When I was in New Orleans, I was talking to a local there, and he was saying on his 12th birthday, his brother threw as a prank a baby gator into the tub with him.
Get out.
And I was thinking to myself, the pranks are a little different, I guess, when you cross the Mason-Dixon line.
That Cajun humor is not, not fun.
Me? You want to see a Tootsie Roll float to the surface and a tub? Throw a gator in there with me.
But really quickly, on Shador, you know, obviously what you want out of these guys that you're drafting is you want them to be an elevator, right? And someone like Andrew Luck was supposed to be, and he was. You know, Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be, not really. I don't think Shador is that, but I also, you know, I think that that's the job of Dable, of the veteran they bring in. And, you know, I think that the team he played with in Colorado wasn't exactly the most talented group of players. And maybe by playing with more NFL, his game will be elevated himself, you know, and then he can get to a point where he can then elevate others.
I mean,
and so I'm just curious what you think about
that. Josh, you're making a very good point, because, like, we almost forget that Deion has only been there for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a 5-year recruiting cycle and he's got all of these great players who want to come play for Deion and be a part of that aura, whatever the heck it is he has going on there with all the media coverage and NIL stuff. But when he got to Colorado, he basically told the whole team to go hike.
Yeah.
Right?
Literally.
Like,
not take a hike for the team. Yes, literally. Right. Leave and hike.
Leave and go play someplace else because you're not going to play here. And so, like, they didn't have a ton of talent. That first year, despite all the hype, they got exposed.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have
They burst on the scene that first game versus TCU, and everyone's like, wow, look at this.
Exactly. But then
they
got exposed because they weren't really talented. And the transfer portal is very difficult because you think you know what you're getting, but then that guy gets there, and it's just not exactly what you expected. So Colorado was never going to be, like, championship material simply because it was too new.
Yes.
And so Shador didn't have a ton of great talent. He had Travis Hunter,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there's a couple other good kids on that squad.
But his O-line left him to take a beating.
He got the crap beat out of
him. Which is part of the reason that I like Shador, is the amount of times he stood in there as a defender is basically drilling him, and he throws a dart to Travis Hunter.
It's funny because we can look at the same thing and draw a completely different conclusion.
Okay, so
what you look at that and say, wow, he stands in there, pocket passer, gets a shot and throws a strike to Travis Hunter. I look at that and say, dude, get the hell out of the pocket.
All right, fair.
Create something. And if it's not there, go pick up 8 to 12 or 60 yards with your legs.
It's true.
The challenge with Shador is that I think he's been so focused on, I got to be a pocket passer. I want to be more traditional. That's what's going to get me in the league, that he hasn't tried to explore that other stuff. You know what I mean? And so I'm not saying he can't do it in the NFL, but it might be harder not having it be natural or instinctual to him. Right, some of these kids come in. Jaden Daniels is a prime example. He is instinctually an extender / runner. If things break down and all hell breaks loose, I'm getting this with my legs. I know I'm faster than you. I'm more athletic than you. I'm going to find a way to get it done. That's not what Shador Sanders does. And so you're missing a little bit of that dynamic element with him.
Can that be taught by a coach like Brian Dable?
That's what I don't know. I don't, like, Josh Allen had it.
Right.
Like, he had it in Wyoming. Lamar had it. I don't know if Daniel Jones had it, because Daniel didn't really do it well enough in the NFL to even use him as an example. Kyler Murray, he had it.
Justin Fields,
he had it. Like, all these guys had it. You saw it in college. We didn't see it really for Shador. And I wonder if that's going to hamper his ability to be a playmaker on the NFL level. These are why I have all these questions around Shador, because it's things like that that come up. And it's not a bad thing. It's just a thing.
Of course.
And it's something you have to think about.
If it wasn't a thing, we would be slamming the table going, of course you take Shador Sanders. Right. Don't even worry about trading for Stafford or whoever. 888-808-1019. Vernon in Atlanta. Vernon, what's up, man? Long time no talk. How are you?
Hey, Tiki. Hey, Sean.
What's up, Vernon?
Hey, listen, man. Sean, is you Evan today or what?
Yes, but I put on deodorant, so you can't call me Evan totally.
Yo, listen, I'm going to make this quick because I'm driving Lyft. On Shador, he's going to be all right. He's just going to be fine. I've seen him ever since high school. Travis Hunter, I've seen him down here in Atlanta since high school. Travis Hunter is just as good as neighbors. He go gets the ball.
Right.
He tell you to throw it. Don't sit back there and wait till I get open. Throw it. I'm going to go get it.
Right.
He's an athlete, man. This guy, after games, he go and get his body taken care of. You know what I'm saying? All through the week when he practice, he get his body taken care of. And he don't drink, he don't smoke, he don't do nothing. He just play video games. How you doing?
Yeah.
And
I see you, Vernon. Hey, hey, pipping out there, huh?
Y'all crazy. Hey, if the Giants can't get neither quarterback and we go for Travis Hunter, he can play both sides of the ball and he would do it. He's better than Banks. Don't put Banks in that category, please.
Right. Yeah, no, Banks, I knew what you said.
No, I got you.
Hey, be safe out there, Vernon.
Yeah.
All right, now. See, so, look, he's like, hey, how you doing?
Is he outside of Magic City out there?
Jeez.
I think he said he was driving. So he was probably.
We didn't get the double horn honk, so we're okay, Vernon.
This is why, what he's saying is why I think I love Travis Hunter as a player. Because he's Loogie's dog, man. Like, he's going to go be a playmaker. If I run a great route and you throw a bad ball, that's all good. I'm going to go get it. Like, that's the kind of player you want. Not someone who's going to get mad and turn and look at you cross-eyed because you threw a bad ball. But I know I'm a good enough athlete to go get it. Let me go get it.
Okay, long-term prediction time, and let's clip it. Loogie, does Travis Hunter play both ways full-time in the NFL?
Yes, at a 90-10 clip, 90% corner. Yeah, that's been my lean the whole time, 90% corner.
But that's not, I don't really consider that playing both ways.
Yeah, that's not both ways.
No, I consider it more like 60-40. Because I've always said, fine.
Both ways would be, in order to be both ways, it would need to be like 60-40.
Okay, then my question before I give my answer to Tiki is, can a player 60-40 at a high level in the modern day NFL, is that even possible at this point?
I don't know. The game is so much faster and physical. It would be a grind, man.
Yeah.
It would be a real grind. But I'm not looking at Shador as a 100% offense, 100% defense player. I'm looking at
Travis.
Travis. Yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking at him as doing it every play. So 60 plays on offense and 60 plays on defense. I think it's probably more like 60 plays on defense, 30 plays on offense, or 25 plays on offense. And that's not putting him in these gimmicky situations where you know he's getting the football, but putting him in certain packages where he could get the football.
Right.
Right. So it's not every package. So make him your three wide receiver. But on first and second downs, you don't necessarily need him. But if you want to start in three wide, he's going to be out on the field. That's more how I see it.
And the Giants are going to have a hole there if Darius Slayton walks. 888-808-1019. Vince is in Carmel, New York. Vince, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good. What's up, Vince?
I've been an athletic trainer for about 40 years, so I'm not just talking out of my butt.
A real Mr. Mandelbaum.
I think Travis Hunter can play both ways. And this notion that he can't, it's just this antiquated mindset of how we treat athletes in this country from when they're kids and they start playing sports. For example, Otani, you know, coming from Japan, you think they told him he couldn't pitch and hit? No, they told him that he could.
Right.
Now, if he would have grown up in this country, he probably would have been one or the other.
Right.
So it all depends on your athletic ability, your genetic predisposition, nutrition. Everything's different now than it was.
Right. So if you limit the mentality, you limit his ability.
Right. You got to be more like positive Tommy over there.
Oh, my God. I don't know if you want to do that.
Well, the thing is that you need to, you know, believe that athletes can play both ways. I hope that he plays and becomes successful and encourages other athletes.
Right. Becomes the example.
To do the same.
Exactly. No, and I think you're right about that. I think Otani is doing that in a sense. You're seeing a lot more of these kids coming out of college that do it both ways. They don't end up trying to transition into, I'm talking about baseball now. Mm-hmm. You don't see it transitioning into the MLB, but there's a lot of college kids that are two-way players.
Yeah.
Like at high levels.
No, and then they become just like shortstops full-time if they're not pitching with their arm. I think a lot of that has to do with arm injuries.
Maybe. Oh, without a doubt.
That's obviously the reason. 888-808-1019. Okay, continue to take your calls on this whole Travis Hunter situation. And, of course, Jason Dominguez had another freaking moment in spring training today. Now, you weren't able to see it because, you know.
Was it a good moment?
It wasn't a good moment.
No.
It wasn't a good moment.
Great.
And the Yankees may have a problem. And I think Evan explained something earlier in the week that, in hindsight, I think he was dead wrong.
1 month.
1 month. That's it. 1 month.
Good. I hate spring training.
Then our asses are in seats. The chicken buckets are coming out. The tall boys are coming out.
All we get in spring training is bad news.
Yeah.
Except for when someone hits a home run. Volpe went yard, smashed one. But other than that, feels like bad news.
Well, Clay Holmes had good news from Medford.
No, I mean, I'm not worried about that.
Basically, I can't wait a month from now to do everything that Evan Roberts doesn't realize people like doing at baseball games. You know, the eating, the drinking, you know, the pre. I can't wait for it. Anyway, we're a month.
The pre-gaming.
Oh, it's the best. But I'm scared. Dickie, I'm scared.
Why?
We had this argument, I think it was this week, earlier in the week, about Jason Dominguez and being a natural center fielder and moving over to left field.
Right. He's moving to left because Cody Bellinger is playing center.
Playing center. And the idea of even on off days, they would keep him in left because they want to keep him in one position and they don't want to put Trent Grisham in left. And Evan was basically vehemently in agreement with Aaron Boone, which is, hey, just give him that one position out in left and let him figure it out. And I'm almost mad at myself that I didn't like Evan convinced me and I went away from it a little bit. And now I'm sitting here today. And for anybody that didn't see it, it's all over social media in Clearwater. The Phillies were broadcasting the home game rights, but now it's made the rounds. It's a 2-2 game in the bottom of the third. Carlos Rodon, basically, it's the last pitch he's going to throw in the game today. So for anybody who wants to wonder, you get 2 runs in 3 innings. And a ball goes out to left field. And Jason Dominguez, in a ball that should be caught by anybody up against the wall, runs, tracks it down. His hat flies off, which makes it look more acrobatic, but the ball just clanks off his glove and hits the ground. And this is now, again, we're talking about a month until opening day, February 27th, the third misplay in left field for Jason Dominguez. And it scares me to death, Tiki, for a couple reasons. Here's the first one.
Go ahead.
He's too damn young and too damn valuable a bat that this team's counting on to just say, well, you're a DH, that's that.
Right.
Especially, who knows what the future is for Giancarlo Stanton coming back from injury.
Well, I mean, when Giancarlo Stanton comes back,
has to be the DH, okay? And the Yankees have put a lot of eggs in the basket and are relying on Dominguez to be in the lineup. And I'm excited for him in the lineup. But here's the other problem, man. What did we argue about at nauseam for weeks after the World Series, what the Yankees' biggest issue was? Fundamentals, errors, that fifth inning being thrown back in their face. You have a young player here that has played his whole life in center field. Mm. You don't have a long-term answer right now in center field.
Well, I mean, but Cody is in center field, and you want him to be as comfortable as he can be, because obviously his other possibility is playing first base, but you don't need him at first base. So you don't want to put Cody Bellinger in left field, do you?
Yes, I do.
Why?
If Dominguez is going to be this bad in left, at least I know
this. What makes you think he's going to be better in center, though?
Well,
because the things that are happening to him, I just watched it. It's not a hard play.
It's not.
I should say this. It probably is for the layman. If I was out there, even though I'm a good athlete, I'd probably look like a fool.
Well, we've seen you in softball make some diving catches.
Yeah.
You don't undersell your outfielder.
Right. But I'd probably look foolish. But for an outfielder, MLB outfielder, they're routine type plays.
I don't deny what you're saying. And that's why it's frustrating. And I know it's a very small sample size. In the 9 games he got before that injury, when they were playing him in center field, there wasn't a big issue with him being in center field. Mm. All I'm saying is, with a month to go to opening day, Bellinger is now on his third team, been an excellent player for the Dodgers, played for the Cubs, came here. We know he's versatile enough that he could play first, center. And I don't know this offhand. I'm assuming with the Dodgers, he had to have at times played in the corner outfield. I would have been, there's no way he's never played any left or right. No way.
Right.
How, to me, can I sit here and know that this young player that I know I need in the at-bat, why would I continue to put him in a position in left field where it's very clear he is uncomfortable? I want everything to be as comfortable as possible. Gleyber Torres, when he was a Yankee, was way more comfortable at second base. When they moved him over to short for a year, and I knew he grew up playing short and all of that, he was a disaster, and his bat suffered as well.
Yeah, because he lost his confidence.
I don't want Jason Dominguez's confidence because he can't figure out left field being sunk, that he's now a hole in the lineup as well. So, man, you got a month to figure it out. You got knocked out in embarrassing fashion in the World Series, and the big reminiscing memory everybody has that you guys couldn't field the ball. Can we get Jason Dominguez in center? I have more trust that a veteran like Cody Bellinger is not going to make the same mistakes Dominguez is making in left, even if he's not great. And give me Dominguez in his natural position.
Yeah, but I still just wonder, because I wonder if this is expectation and not just not being able to do it. You know what I mean? Like, he's starting to feel the pressure of having to be the guy. And we all know where the deficiencies have been for the Yankees this offseason. And he's being counted upon. And he's being, I don't know if explicitly told, but it's impossible for him not to hear all the noise about what the expectation is for him, what Jason Dominguez's expectation is this year. And it may be affecting him. And so the question really becomes, from a leadership standpoint, this is Boone, I guess this is Aaron Judge as well, just get him to calm down, right? Just get him to, and you have a month to do it.
Yeah, that's
so
the thing.
So there's nothing to, like, overly panic about, but just play the game like you've been playing it your entire life. Stop thinking about being a Yankee, being one of the stars of the Yankees. Just do what you've always done, and you'll be okay. Somebody needs to tell that to him so he stops. Because I just listened. I just read his quotes. I'm working my ass off.
I'm
doing all.
And I'm sure he is.
But sometimes you don't even. You don't need to even explicitly say that. You just need to do it.
Yeah. And look, if he's hearing or feeling pressure now, like you said, it was a month ago.
Yeah.
Just imagine when there's 48,000 people at Yankee Stadium frustrated because you can't catch a fly ball and the games actually count. We're talking about a game that wasn't even freaking televised in New York today, and Yankee fans are growing frustrated. I mean, this is only going to be a problem. And Aaron Boone's job as the manager, you cannot have fundamentals and everything linger into this year when it ended up being the bad taste in your mouth from last year.
Right. Like drunks.
Like drunks. Right, Connor? Like drunks.
Even though that was on the base pass.
Nonetheless, they're playing the field like drunks. 888-808-1019. What's the matter, Tom?
No, I just, your big idea here is to move Dominguez to a harder position to play. I know it's his natural position.
I want center him fielder to be comfortable.
I know, but center fielder is also harder to play.
Well, clearly,
there's so much more room to cover.
Morash, you're an idiot.
I agree.
Shut
Skip.
Up, Booney.
That's positive Aaron Boone, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I know this doesn't make sense because I am not nearly the athlete Tiki has. Yes, everybody looks at center field and goes, that's a harder position than left. And I understand all of that. But sometimes you're just comfortable what you're comfortable with, right? Like,
Sean.
Yeah.
He can't play the outfield. So he's
so
got
what's he going to do?
DH,
how
first
could you
base.
Tell me
he can't play. He can't catch.
He caught those 9 games in center field, no problem for the Yankees when he played there. Those were Major League Baseball games. I know it's 2 years ago. There wasn't a problem. The moment you move him to left field, like they were trying to do last year and this year, he can't catch.
So you think it's a tracking issue or something, or he's just somehow
he's
not comfortable because
kind of
he's moved over to left?
Yeah, like the line, the wall. I can't explain it. What goes through somebody's head? Yes, we all grew up playing. It feels like there's more space to cover in center, all of that. His natural athletic instincts, we have evidence he's a better center fielder, even if he's not a great center fielder, he's a left fielder. And we're not in the business of having his team lose games out the gate because you can't field left field because it's a project.
I think that, you know, playing center field is more about getting to the ball. Playing left field and right field because of how those, like the tail on the ball, with the way it's hit sometimes, it's hard to pick it up.
Right,
because you're looking at it at an angle as opposed to coming right at you sometimes, and so you think you're there, but you're not, and so I was just reading some of the comments about from his coaches, and it's like he gets away from his running form, and then he doesn't take the extra step that he needs to take to get to the ball. Like those things seem natural in center field because of how you have to approach a baseball that's hit to you in center field. I mean, it's usually straight away, right?
Right.
It's driven right back up at you. But if a ball's hit the left or right, it's tailing sometimes or moving away from you or towards you, and so it catches you off guard. And I think it takes some time to get used to, obviously. It's just taking him maybe too much time for the comfort of Yankee fans.
Especially because they need it.
Right, but the Yankees can't do anything about it because what else are they doing? Right, but you're not going to play Trent Grisham over Jason Dominguez.
No.
So what else are you doing?
What I'm suggesting, put him in center. Look, they've had other Aaron Judge went over to center, played center field. Totally
fine. Aaron Judge is an elite athlete. Like
we worry
about his bat. Or we talk about his bat a lot, and that's why he wins MVPs. But he is an elite fielder. Like we know this, and we've seen him in right. We've seen him in center.
I just think when you're looking for A-plus defense out of Bellinger at center and going, well, I might take a little less defense on Bellinger by putting Dominguez in center. I'm just looking to get my players in their most comfortable positions. And when you're a veteran like Bellinger, I trust that, you know what? You'll be able to handle this situation better than Jason Dominguez is.
No, you're right. You're probably right about that.
I need him comfortable.
You're probably right about that. But eventually, he's got to figure out how to be better at that, period.
Man, if they don't have Stanton to start the year and Dominguez, they can't figure this out, and he is fumbling and bumbling the ball over left field. I'm sorry. I don't think it's going to be a pretty start to the Yankee season. I don't.
Hard to imagine Stanton's going to be starting the season.
Well, he's not.
So that's
he's
where
not.
Yeah. So
I mean, he's nowhere near. But my point is, they're not going to have him.
So then Dominguez is your DH.
Okay, and then the moment Stanton comes back, now, well, then like, you worry by about the way, that. Now you got to go back out there and
well,
play
you worry. Well, hold on a second. Wouldn't you rather have Dominguez, let's say there's no Stanton, let's just say for a month. Wouldn't you rather have Dominguez as the DH, and then when Stanton gets back, you figure it out? Meaning, you have him there as a DH, you know he can hit, let him be comfortable right. there, and then when Stanton comes back, which, by the way, nobody knows really when this guy's coming back, but let's just assume it's May, then you could figure out where Dominguez is going to play in the outfield.
I hear you, Tommy, but it almost feels like then you're stunting the defensive growth for Dominguez, because now we're just putting on pause him getting any reps in the outfield and figuring this out at center or left by just strictly DHing him.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I'm trying to take the temperature here of a Yankee fan where they're just at the point where they just don't trust Dominguez to be a good outfielder, and they're just tired of it. They just want him to be the DH.
I think that's ridiculous on February
27th. Yeah, but he can't be
the DH. Yeah, you can't.
Well, he can't be it right now, but I'm saying that he could be it. Oh, let me rephrase that. If Stanton comes back, he can't. But if Stanton doesn't, he is the DH. I'm saying DH of the future.
I can't make him the DH of the future. It's his rookie year. He's a natural center fielder. Can we put him in center field and at least see if that fails before we declare him as the DH?
Right. It's hard.
It's so simple. You're overthinking it.
But it's hard because he's. It's not like he's an inferior athlete. He's a good athlete.
Yes.
So it's hard to say at 23. You know what? You're just going to hit for us.
Right. And how many times are the Yankees going to do this? Miguel Andujar.
So why aren't they doing it? Belly said he'd play all across the diamond.
I don't know.
He's played all three outfield positions. He's played first base.
It drives me nuts.
Are they trying
to
be the smartest people in the room as usual?
Yes, I think they're.
Yeah, is this a Cashman thing?
I think it's an overthink. That's it. I think it's a classic overthink.
Well, how do we, I mean, what does Cody Bellinger want to do, though?
I think Cody Bellinger would be a team guy and go out there and play left. I do.
Probably. But, you know, when he signs, they ask him, look, we're going to potentially use you at first base, or we're going to play in the outfield. Where do you want to play in the outfield? And he says, I'd love to be a center fielder. Don't you have to kind of acquiesce, especially when the alternative is a 23-year-old rookie?
I think if you're Cody Bellinger looking for a longer-term deal for the Yankees after this over, you're going to go play wherever the hell they want you to
play. Now, he might have just been saying this just to make nice with everybody. When Bellinger met the media, his first press conference or whatever it was, Zoom, he said, I can play anywhere. I'll play wherever. I'm open to playing wherever. So,
so
we just could go off his word, what he said.
If that's the case, then you might need to try him in left field.
Then why do they have Dominguez out there, to your point, Sean, stumbling and bumbling, and it could crush his confidence where maybe it could get...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
To the plate where he's not going to hit now because he's worried about catching the ball. I can't make the pitch, Petey.
Because to Evan's point, Bellinger, no matter what, is a better defensive center fielder than whatever Dominguez's ceiling is, but Dominguez is not a sieve in center the way he is in left.
Right.
So you're giving up a little less defensively in theory, but I'd rather give up a little less at two positions than have one black hole defensively at one position.
That's
what I'm saying.
It just all the time. This is the Yankees. They should not. We're talking about the Yankees, and there's always an issue where this guy can't play third base.
I know.
This guy can't lead.
This is what I'm talking about.
This guy can't catch.
Yeah. Right.
You can't have this massive
they have this massive payroll, and they're still whole.
Yeah.
It's a million.
Can't run the bases. Mm.
Some might say that's why they're little brother. 888-808-1019. David in Westfield. David, what's up?
What's up, fellas? I was in L.A. for a wedding in 2019, and we went to a Dodgers-Mets game, and Bellinger was in right field. Okay. I think that was his MVP season, and I think he played mostly right field that year.
Uh-huh.
He belted a home run, a line drive home run, over the right field wall.
I thought that was the case in the right field.
Yeah, he threw a base runner out at third, and he threw a base runner out at home. So, yeah, he can catch in field in the outfield, but the guy's got a freaking cannon, too.
Right.
Okay, so the perfect example. We know Judge could play left.
Yeah. So you're not going to put Judge in left, though, are you?
I'm just saying, if Bellinger, let's just say that was the one position in the outfield Bellinger couldn't play.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is a chess piece that can move all over the place.
So it sounds like Cody Bellinger's a chess piece you can move all over the place.
So put him in left! Make the young player that you need to hit comfortable. Why is this so difficult for the Yankees? How many fly balls? And you think this pitching staff, you think Carlos Rodon is going to live with that in the regular season? The guy's a mental case. He's not going to blow up in Clearwater, Florida. He'll blow up in May at Yankee Stadium. Marcus in Seattle. Marcus, what's up?
What's up, Marcus?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're good.
Hey, I called in a while ago when you guys were talking about the fight in Starbucks with Rappaport and Schultz.
You mean the work
and,
in Starbucks.
Well, oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
And one of you guys had said that Schultz was able to get close to athletes and whatnot because his dad was big into Starbucks. His dad actually owned the Seattle Supersonics and sold them to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I'm putting my money on Rappaport because everybody named Schultz is a bum, and we want our Sonics back.
I didn't
expect that score.
I didn't realize he owned the Sonics and sold them.
Yeah, he was the chief executive at Starbucks, and he also owner of the Seattle Supersonics from 2001 to 2006. So that was a short flip, man.
Damn.
That was
sold out
quick.
To people in Seattle.
And then he sold it to Oklahoma City.
Now, if you were a Sonic fan, okay, and you lost your franchise, you still haven't gotten back, and the owner of your team that flipped them to Oklahoma City also was basically the head of your popular coffee company, you would think more Starbucks would shut down in Seattle, and you'd be like, screw this company, they took my basketball team, I'm not shopping, I'm not getting my coffee there anymore.
Huh, you would think, but right? they're everywhere.
I know.
The problem is they're everywhere.
Maybe it's too big an economic thing for them, too many jobs.
It would crush. Not even that. Where would you get coffee?
You're saying
Seattle's best?
They should protest going to Starbucks because the owner moved them to OKC. I think we separate sports and what we like in life. We can do that. There are people that can do that. And if they like their coffee, they don't care who the owner places.
I would say this. Hal Steinbrenner, I love the Yankees. Okay.
Right.
Hal Steinbrenner owns Chipotle.
Okay.
Another product I love.
Is that right?
No. But work with me here. If he did.
Oh, got it. I got
it. If he owned Chipotle.
Okay. Okay?
If.
Okay.
And he wakes up out of a slumber off the yacht in 2 years and goes, you know what? I don't like this. I want to get back under the luxury tax. Too much pressure here. Our lease is coming up at the new Yankee Stadium. I'm moving the Yankees to Indianapolis. All right? Never happened, but work with me. I'd never get a burrito bowl again at Chipotle.
Mm.
Screw you. You don't have my business. You took my baseball team.
Cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Yes.
You love your burritos. You love your Chipotle.
You know
you
love
your Yankees. You could always just root for the Mets. We would still have a baseball team here.
I'd be out on baseball.
See, that's how you're wired. You're a spiteful character. And apparently this guy is as well, but obviously it's booming in Seattle. And get over it. I mean, you'll get a basketball team at some point.
I mean, can you get over it? I mean, how many? The Seattle Supersonics moved a million years ago.
And they got a hockey team now.
They got. They do.
What's their name?
They have the Seattle Fishermen.
Loogie!
The Seattle Senators.
Loogie!
Connor for the Steel?
The Seattle Sounders.
Yeah, the Seattle Supers.
Are you guys serious? The Sounders are the soccer team. Now you're embarrassed.
Yeah. It's the Seattle Kraken.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Kapo-kako.
Who doesn't know that?
Me.
The Sounders are a team, though.
Yeah, it's the soccer.
Soccer team.
Man, you they have soccer? What are they? Just come
they
down,
have
Seattle.
They have
Shut
everything
up.
Except basketball. 888-808-1019. John, Garden City. John, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm calling you because this Jason Dominguez thing is making me nuts.
The Yankees are about to
ruin another prospect by trying to shoehorn into what they think he should be rather than what he is. I mean, one reason I think they may not be putting him in center is he tore his UCL and had Tommy John surgery on his throwing arm.
Right.
A lot more throws from center field than there are from left field. I mean, you saw Bellinger the other day get the guy at second base. He made a great throw, you know, in from center field. I mean, to me, you don't want somebody like Giancarlo to be knocked out of the lineup. But we are where we are. I tell Dominguez, listen, Dominguez, we need you as a DH right now. We have a lot of guys that can play the outfield. Giancarlo is out. We'll reevaluate it later. We'll get you in the outfield maybe a day or two a week when we want to give Judge some DH time. And you don't want to ruin this guy's head.
But why wouldn't you put him in center before trying that? You know what I mean? I understand if that's the end result you end up
at. First of all, I'd like somebody to show me that he could throw.
John, I understand the argument you're making. But let's not pretend you could have a game you can't control it where 18 balls get hit the left field and he's got to make the throws.
But you're already down a bat. You're down Giancarlo, right? So you're not going to – who are you going to – what are you going to do? You could play Bellinger, I guess, at first and let Goldschmidt get some days off because he's like, what, 45 years old or something? You can let – he's 37, but you know what I'm saying. You can move guys around. But a guy like Dominguez who's young, who's formative right now, the job he needs to do for you is to hit. Juan Soto's not on this team anymore. He could be a great hitter. Let him concentrate on that. It's very disturbing to me to see the guy say, I'm working my ass off in left field. He's concentrating on the wrong things. Mm. It's Gleyber Torres playing shortstop all over again.
Wow.
Leave the guy alone. Let him concentrate on what we need him for.
John, you're right.
Which is his hitting. That's what he's saying. That's why he's saying we need him to hit.
I'm worried about letting a guy go DH for a month and a half and then going, now go pick up the glove again because Giancarlo's back.
Well, that's what's going to happen. Because Giancarlo's not going out and playing left field.
I know, but that's
I mean,
what,
he did for a little bit. That's but the last thing you want to do at his age right now.
But you could always get to this end result 3 weeks into the season. You know what I mean? You could always, and it's still a month before the season starts. You could get to this result on opening day. My point is this month left in spring training, can you put the kid where he's comfortable in center and see if it, and if he's magically fielding great, then you're like, you know what? This is what we have to do.
Yeah.
Why would I want to put him at DH now?
Because you're just hoping for the best. That's what's happening right now with the Yankees. And it's out of desperation. Like, they're hoping for the best because what is the alternative? There isn't a great one other than Trent Grisham playing left field. And that's not you just lose too much pop on the batting side of it. So you have to find a way to keep him in the field, especially once Giancarlo gets back. But for right now, I think it's odd and I don't know, puzzling, because he's such a good athlete that he's struggling with this. So to me, it has to be a mental thing. And I don't know how baseball players overcome that side of it. Clearly, the Yankees have struggled with this because Gleyber had the same issues playing second base. But, I mean, maybe they need to invest in a sports psychologist. I'm half joking, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Because these guys are too good of athletes to not be doing this consistently enough.
No, there's no doubt, Tiki. I had a conversation with myself in the shower about a week ago.
Lovely.
Yeah, and it was about the Yankees. I said, this year, you know, all these shows we do, I'm not going to overreact to every win, loss, and moment.
You're just going to overreact to but your left fielder dropping
my point,
18 balls in left field in spring training.
Everybody's dropping like flies, getting hurt. Jason Dominguez can't. And I'm sitting here on February 27th going, I just feel like this. I'm fearing the worst for this Yankee team. And I don't want to be Mr. Negative going into a season. But it's hard not to feel that way right now. 888-808-1019. We'll continue to take your calls on the Yankee situation with Dominguez, on Travis Hunter, whether you would draft him or not if he wants to play both ways, full, ready to go. And Bad Tiki will join us in about 38 minutes from now. It's Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.